Welcome to the game with Glenn Quatermain and Adrian Barrage. Quatt is a veteran footy scribe with hands so small he can only carry 2 pints. And Barra, an Eagles original, Perth Demons diehard, and regular face on Channel 7.
Hello, Adrian Barrage here from 7 News.
He'll tell you about the 1991 Grand Final, except he got dropped after the prelim. We don't promise any fancy sound effects or bells and whistles. It's just two blokes talking football.
Yes, and thank you, Dennis, and welcome to Quarters and Barra. We are brought to you by Tab Touch. Got the touch, download the Tab Touch app today. Chances are you're about to lose. For free and confidential support, visit gamblinghelponline.org.au. I am Glenn Quatermain, Chief Sports Reporter for the West Australian. With me is Adrian Barrage, AFL and waffle guru, who has just been to the waffle season launch, Barra, and a bit of news coming out of that.
Yeah, there was a bit of news. Actually, it was a good launch. It was at Optus, and of course, the season starts on Thursday, West Perth at Claremont. West Perth's got some new lights up at Joondalup, so that game, let me have a look. It's at 7:10, can you believe? So they're playing at 7:10 and kicking that season off. They reckon their lights are as good as at Minres.
How bright are they? Did they mention the flux?
Yeah, it's over 500 lux or flux, yeah. Whatever it is. So they'll be looking to play a lot of night games there, which is probably not a bad result. But it was quite interesting. So I was speaking to the Sandover medalist, Hamish Brayshaw, brother of Angus, obviously, and also brother of Andy Brayshaw, who was played brilliantly on the weekend. Mm-hmm. Angus recently retired because of that concussion dramas that he's had. And I said, hey, Andy, how are we going to go in round one? East Perth playing in round one against South Fremantle on Saturday. He said, I'm not playing. So what's happened? He goes, I've got concussion. And he'll probably be the first player on the 21-day protocols.
Yep.
Actually. So how sort of ironic is that, that the first bloke in Western Australia is Angus Brayshaw's brother, Hamish. I think he got a footy kick to his forehead or something and saw stars. And, of course, in his situation,
there's a Falcon.
Yeah, I think it was a Falcon. So I think he was not going to be, he's not going to take any chances. Mm. And he immediately volunteered the information.
This is why the 21 days is in, Barra.
Yeah. No, so
to
he
protect missed, players.
So he misses round one. And, yeah, so it's quite interesting. And then, of course, the Perth Footy Club, we've got our first game on Saturday afternoon at 4:10. We're playing Subiaco. And there'll be a tribute there for Dakota Baldwin-Wright as well, because we lost him over the preseason, of course.
Yes,
died in Prague, yeah. So minute silence, black armbands, his name and his numbers being sewn into our jumpers or printed in our jumpers. So
it's a nice touch.
Yeah, so there's a fair bit going on. So the waffle just around the corner, my friends. East Fremantle have got stronger. They've got two new recruits.
Bryn Teagle.
Yeah, Teagle and Hagen. And I think Jono Marsh didn't play in the grand final. So he'd be driving standards, you'd think, because he'd want to play another grand final, play in a premiership. He didn't play in the last one. So somehow East Fremantle got stronger. So it seems like theirs to lose in the waffle anyway. But the Demons on the rise.
Let's hope so, Barra. You're due.
We are due. 77, that gets a mention all the time. We haven't won since 77.
As usual, a fair bit going on and coming out of the weekend. But let's start with the two local teams. Mm. Let's start with the team in purple, Barra, who are going very nicely at 2-0. It's a bit of a glass half full with me. I thought it's been 2 weeks of fantastic comebacks, but 2 weeks of really bad starts. And they're not going to get away with that against real top quality teams. The only thing I'll say is that they were very different starts. I felt like week one against Brisbane is like leaving the door open and allowing a opportunist burglar just to walk in and take some stuff and then they chase them down. I thought they got mugged early against North Melbourne. I thought we got a bit of an insight into this help that North Melbourne's had with all these extra picks and amazing array of young, particularly midfield talent that they've got. And we saw them up and about early, but great comeback from Fremantle. I think we should be buoyed by the way Fremantle have responded both weeks. But I'm still concerned about those starts because this is not just this year, Barra. This has been apparent in 2023 and 2022 as well.
No doubt about that. And it's a trend. It's not just something that's happened. So I noticed that Andrew Brayshaw was talking today and he said that they're working on what they can do there. I did see that Joe Bridie, their footy manager or their new footy boss, come out and say that when they're in Melbourne, they stay on Melbourne time. Did you see that? They stay on Perth time, I mean. So they call it, I think they call it Docker Dial. I was just trying to see what they actually call it.
And it's interesting because the game started at 10:45 a.m. Now, that would have happened to you quite a bit over during your journey. How difficult was it to transition? I mean, you're not used to playing footy at 10:30 in the morning.
No, that's right. Well, it was 1:30 over there, but yeah, 10:30 here.
That's what
yeah,
I'm saying.
So
yeah.
Staying on Perth time. They thought they were playing at 10 o'clock. Yeah, exactly. Actually, in the early days of the Eagles, we decided we would do that at one stage. And some of those night games, you slept into the normal time that you would sleep in Perth. So if you slept into 9 or 10 a.m. before a match, you were getting up at 11 or 12. So they had these thick curtains in our hotel and you'd stay in bed till midday and then get up and have some brunch. And then the game was on that night. So some of that stuff just didn't work.
I think they've tried everything. I remember last year's season launch, so not this year's, last year's, Justin Longmuir was asked the question and he said, well, what we've done at training is we've tried to amp it up in the first 30 minutes. You know, so
yeah,
to get us up and about early,
yeah, train it into you. Yeah.
But clearly it's a difficult one. I mean, they've tried everything and I'm not sure if there are any answers.
Yeah, I sort of mentioned it a bit on the Barra's breakdown that I did on Monday just to sort of put it on the agenda. Everyone else has as well, of course, but just that's something, if they can, because the first game they conceded four goals, two of them were silly free kicks, of course. And this North Melbourne team, pretty interesting. So Powell was their best player, and he got votes from the coaches, I believe. Great young player. Sheasel, Wardlaw, and LDU, Davies Uni.
Throw McKercher in there as well. Yeah. Just a little bit of talent, McKercher.
Mate, have they got some great young talent? I mean, they'll be emerging this year too, probably.
Still deficient down back. Obviously, Griffin Lowe will be back at some point from that ACL, but still deficient down back. But we saw the riches they've got in the midfield. Big shout out, though. Luke Jackson, what an amazing difference. I felt like, Barrett, that sort of late in that second term, I thought Fife got to work, Brayshaw got to work, Sarong got to work. We saw Clark at half back getting to work. I mean, there was a real flick of the switch, wasn't there?
It was.
You could tell just before half time this game's changed a bit.
Yeah.
And it was a pretty impressive third term.
And it felt like Fife was at the forefront too as well. Like the way he sort of, instead of waiting back, he sort of met them head on. And that really, a couple of incidents there where he turned the play around and Jackson was just phenomenal. I think he had 10 score involvements. 10 score involvements. Plus he kicked two himself. He was just everywhere and just pushing forward Cherry and that. They just couldn't.
We keep using the example and people hate us for it, but there is Stephen Michael-esque because who else goes up in the ruck contest at the centre bounces and then roves to their own ruck work? I mean, he does it regularly.
Nick Nat used to do it too, but a different sort of athlete.
Yes.
But shades of Stephen Michael, there's no doubt about that. And I think Jackson's going to become one of the best players in the competition.
I think there's a bit of mail later on him and Darcy, so we'll get to that a bit later.
Yeah, and unfortunately, that's going to be the thing that keeps coming up. I go, Darcy will be back. What are you going to do then? You know what's going to happen? Jackson will play a lot of time in the forward line. He'll kick 50 goals or 40 goals.
He could.
That's what'll happen. Yeah. He's that good.
I don't think they're too worried about it. They are quite happy to have Luke Jackson as a more permanent forward and chopping out in the ruck.
Yeah, well, and he takes the best defender too. So Jai Amos, how happy is he?
It just seems to be a different dynamic when he's in that midfield though. There is definitely a buzz around that midfield when he's out there.
True.
And I think the players grow around him too. So now, across town, West Coast v GWS. And Barra, I was sitting there watching this game, I just kept waiting for this just to get really, really ugly. And I don't think it ever got really ugly. I mean, there were times in this game where you saw the GWS players just owning the centre square. But I think to West Coast credit, if you can take anything from an 11-goal loss, I mean, put it this way, I think they sort of managed the damage a bit. They sort of kept, they were still hanging in there late in the game and they're probably
two goals for three quarters.
Yeah, which is not good enough. I mean, that's the glass half empty. You can look at that. I mean, we need to look at that because it's, I mean, they get, the fear is that you get 8-9 rounds in and this youthful enthusiasm that is there
diminishes.
Now. Yeah, and they're going to be a bit exposed.
I mean, the train has left the station, and that's the only thing you say about West Coast. They're definitely starting to be on the right track, but it's going to be a painful journey. It's going to be a painful train trip. And the ruck is a massive problem. That Briggs just absolutely annihilated him.
And fair play. I mean, Bailey Williams, he is more of a forward who helps out a bit in the ruck. So the last two seasons, he's been played out of position. And it's really tough for him. But he does his best. But Briggs, you could see.
But it was more Barnett.
He's only young.
And the tactics was, I thought the tactics were a bit strange in that Ryan Marrick was the sub.
Yep.
And so their plan was that Harry Barnett plays in the ruck, Bailey Williams plays forward mostly because they need an extra forward.
Well, they needed the structure.
Yeah. And so, but Barnett couldn't go the whole game, which is a little bit surprising. He's 20 now. But anyway, so he couldn't play the whole game. So their plan was to bring on Ryan Marrick into the forward line when Williams had to go into the ruck. Mm. I mean, you know, what if someone else got injured, all that sort of stuff. So I didn't know if that was a great tactic, but certainly Briggs was best on ground. You reckon he'd get 3 votes.
I'll tell you what, the other bloke down back was pretty good too, Sam Taylor. And I think some of the forward entries were sort of playing into his hands a bit. So I'm not going to lump it all on Jack Darling. But I will ask you the question, does he stay in the side?
Well, at the moment, with no Oscar Allen, can you imagine if there's no Darling and no Allen?
I agree with you. I think structurally, it's a get-out-of-jail-free card for him. I think he has to play.
He probably does. I mean, he's in a tough spot, but he has to. I reckon he needs to look, at least his body language needs to look a bit more aggressive. Or I don't know what's going on.
First 10 minutes, he looked all right.
Yeah, he was up and about. But that Sam Taylor, that's the other thing. Mate, what a star. Yeah, good. He's got to be one of the best players in the comp.
We've got some mail on him later too, which will be a good discussion.
So really? Is he the best defender in the
right
comp?
Right now, he is.
So him and
well,
Tom Stewart.
Darcy Moore's dropped off a bit early. Tom Stewart and him are probably raffling it. I'm picking. The thing about Sam Taylor is I think Tom plays zones off a bit more than Sam Taylor, and I think Sam Taylor can also defend a bit more. So I'm probably putting him ahead, but probably being a bit harsh on Tom Stewart.
He's the new McGovern in some ways. Would a Gov get 3 or 5 All-Australians?
Yep.
Tom Stewart's got 5 All-Australians, by the way.
He's a very, very good player.
I'll tell you who's good been defending well is Alex Pearce.
Yeah, he has.
He took care of Lakey as well. So he's had 2 big weeks in a row.
He has.
So I should mention him. But good signs from Yo, McGovern, Hunt, Jinby, it's great. Harley at the
Spark. Let's talk
the
about the star, right? And I wrote about this at the weekend. It was like a first date. And as far as first dates go, it was very memorable, you know. And you could see early, he gets involved. The crowd just wants something good to happen because it's been a pretty bleak couple of years. And he's giving them that. And you can see this love affair starting between the crowd and the player. They're giving him plenty of support. He's giving them back. And you know, when he tends to, because he's so young and the tank's still building at that level and he's still working it out, when he gets 4 quarters, it's going to be something special. But you look at him at the weekend, he spends time on Cornelio, spends time on Kelly. Mm. That belief will be growing each week. When he's able to do a couple of Harley things and you start to believe, geez, hang on, I'm looking around, this is a pretty good side I'm playing and I've done a couple of pretty decent things here. So
exactly.
I reckon it's good for his growth.
That 20 seconds of play down the wing, that was, you know, that really got the joint jumping. Unfortunately, I think I said on radio, it's a bit like when you have a seafood marinara.
I did hear that, yes. I was listening to that. You get the prawns and then you just got to get stuck with the
So you were right. He's going to be burst. He's going to be burst bits of highlights that are with him, but the rest of the game. But he's still, his stats-wise, he's still doing extremely well. And Briggs filled him in at the end of that process too. You know that bit of play?
Oh, he
paid the price as well. But he bounced up.
You know what? He was wrestling with Briggs at one point, Harley. He doesn't mind initiating the contact. It's good. There's some good signs there.
So there are good signs for West Coast, but it is going to be the Bulldogs this week.
We're not glossing over what was still a pretty big defeat. It's just that you're playing who I regard right now as the premiership favourites. Yeah. I got them ahead of Sydney, marginally. And, they're very, very impressive, GWS. And it felt like, I'm not saying they were not trying 100%, but it just felt like they were a bit at half rat power at times. And because they're so good.
Especially in that middle quarters. They've got some players.
What about
Whitfield,
the forward line?
Kelly, Cornelio, and Cadman looks like he's going to be great as well. Just show some
had a bit of fun
sight.
With the Westpac page as well, Barra.
Yes, I saw that,
the
and they hit back,
ha.
And they
Get
hit back.
Them.
They put the towels on their heads, and
that's the way you should handle
their
it.
Their social media crew is the best in the AFL, isn't it?
Yeah,
you guys would have been relaxed about that, wouldn't you?
Yeah. It's made it just all good fun.
Because I saw Stephen on Saturday.
Yep.
It was his mum's 60th birthday, and they were going to Crown, and he was asking me about the cloaks and the hoods and the trader stuff, and he said, how can I be a trader? I got drafted by the Giants. You know, he was taking it seriously. I said, mate, just it's tongue-in-cheek. Don't worry. It's not like they're saying you're a trader. You just – he said, well, yeah, and my wife's from Sydney, and I'm over there, and, you know, maybe I will come back one day. Because he's such a nice bloke.
Geez, you'll come back one day. That'll get them thinking, salivating, mate.
Yeah, and
his
wife's
on,
from
mate.
Sydney.
Getting
on. Yeah, that's right. But and then so after the game, of course, they put those towels on their head and took the photo in the same positions that you had them, and then put ha 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 across there
on
and the West, masthead.
The other thing I took out of the game was Brady Hoff, who is just, again, one of those players who's growing each week. But on Toby Green.
Yeah.
Now, Toby was a little inaccurate and could have been put a bit of scoreboard pressure on early. But I thought it's like playing – it's 50 games of experience in that one game. You're going to learn – if you're going to learn from the best, he is a football IQ genius, this bloke, Toby Green. So I reckon if he's not gone home at night and got his little A3 sheet out and written some notes down, this is what Toby Green did. Imagine how much you'd learn from that.
And I don't know if it was Toby's a bit flat start to the season or what, but
he didn't convert though. And the good thing for GWS is they're getting the job done, and it's not Toby who's been the difference. And in past years, it's been Toby who's really turned the game. So I think it's really good signs for them.
I reckon Toby might have even said, you know what, I think we got this covered. It's 42,000 turned out, so that's a great sign.
Banner
for West
Banner
Coast.
Banner was back.
What did you think of the studs out, boots up thing with Toby Green?
I reckon 3 years ago that would have been in the opponent's face. I reckon he's learnt. I reckon it's a reflex that he's just had. That he's been trying really hard to get out of his game. And it was sort of like a half effort, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Studs are up, so it's a bit dangerous.
So when someone runs
no
at you
contact.
Like that, you're supposed to use your knee, I suppose.
But there's no contact.
His jumping style is with his boot.
Yeah. He's got better at it.
So Coley copped it. But I think I reckon the commentators tried to highlight it too, do you reckon? Did you notice that?
Well, that's their job.
Yeah, got a mention by all three of them,
I think. Well, that's their job, mate.
But it didn't work.
Speaking of...
there wasn't mention, was it?
Speaking of playing on the edge, Essendon. So, Peter Wright, firstly, we'll start with him.
Mm.
I think he gets 3 weeks. So, the recent history would suggest he maybe get 4. But, look, it was a football action, but you've got to be aware...
What does he do in that situation? Because you watch his eyes, he's looking at the ball.
Did he
he's
have his arms out to mark it, though?
He looked like he was about to, and then he went, hang on, this bloke's still coming back.
Yeah.
And
well, you know...
What do you do there? Jump out of the way, or...?
Well, there's two things here. One, I think the onus has to be... By the way, under the rules, he gets 3, right? Maybe more, but I think I'd be comfortable with 3 in this instance. I don't think it was malicious, but the arms went out to mark it, so I think it's 3. There's an onus on the player running back now. To protect themselves. And the other thing is, Barra...
Just explain that, because...
So, okay.
There was no onus on...
So, Cunningham...
Cunningham.
So, I think we're going to have to get to the stage where both players...
So, you think the bloke coming back should stop doing that?
I think there's some responsibility.
Maybe that's the go.
Yeah, there's some responsibility. Not all, but some responsibility.
You know
responsibility.
What? That might be right, because then... If you're the bloke who's most likely to mark it, then you should be allowed to mark it. That's what you're saying, don't you? So,
well,
the guy coming back, don't try to... Don't be heroic.
Yep.
It becomes like basketball a little bit, though, doesn't it?
Yeah, but this is the point. This is where we're at with protecting the head. So it doesn't matter if that's where it's
so
going.
So rather than the bloke attacking the ball, you're saying the guy that's being heroic, courageous, forget doing that stuff.
Well, I think both players need to be aware of it. And I think we're going to get to the stage. This is where we can play a part in the media barrier. Because in the past, you take a few short steps and don't go to the contest. What do? We point them out. We call them cowardly. I think we need to get to the stage as media where we say, actually, that was really well done. He pulled out of that because he wanted to protect the player and vice versa. You can still, it's still a physical game where you can, you know, tackle hard and it's a hard game anyway, physically. The players have never had more courage in terms of the running capacity. But I just think we get into that stage now. I think the responsibility has to be on both players.
The only thing I'd say with that, putting my player's hat on, is sometimes when you go back with the flight, you're not actually being courageous. You just think you're sweet.
Yeah.
And if there's no voice, if no one's telling you, mate, you're hot or whatever, you just go back. And so the one that is most likely to be able to change is the guy coming forward who can see what's happening.
Yeah.
So in some ways it would be easier for Peter Wright to sort of go, whoa, this guy's, he's still coming. I'm just going to let him take
now,
the ball.
I'll tell you who is. And I think Max King, he gets – oh, sorry, before I get on to Max, Nick Hines is very lucky with that swinging elbow.
Yeah.
No, he didn't make contact, so he – but if he's connected there, that's Chad Warner has a broken jaw if he connects because he's running at pace. And he's having a very long holiday if he makes connection there. So I didn't like that one. In fact, in that one I thought was the worst of them. Even though there was no contact, I just didn't like it. Max King – they're going to challenge it at the tribunal, but he gets a week for that. That's just a week.
Yeah. No, I've got no drama with that.
You comfortable with that?
And is 2 metre Peter, is he up tonight or?
What is it? Two metre Peter needs to be neater?
Discreeter.
Discreeter.
Do you reckon that was stupid?
No, it was fantastic.
It was all right, was it?
Yeah, yes. Okay. See, that's what we need, mate.
I'm not sure you're telling me the truth, but anyway.
No, I was
amusing myself on the news.
So let's just go through a few other games. We've got a bit of mail this week.
All right, good.
Let's talk about the Western Bulldogs and Gold Coast down there in Ballarat. We sort of thought the Dogs would win, but we thought the Gold Coast would, if they were to win, then it would be a major discussion.
Hey, but let me ask you this. Yeah. Who do you reckon won the toss? The Western Bulldogs were kicking with the breeze.
Yeah.
Kicked 9 goals in the first quarter. It was all over.
And Waitman's kicked 4 or 5.
Yeah, Cody. Is it Cody Waitman?
Yeah,
mate, how good was he?
Yeah. He does that.
He can burst
and
like that.
And he can hurt you early, Waitman. He makes a habit of that. But look, I thought the signs for them were, I mean, Bontempelli, it was the regulars, but I thought it was good in terms of their intercept defence. So Liam Jones and
Tim English.
And Karmas.
Yeah.
Karmas, who showed a bit in the preseason.
Yeah.
So he's, and Tim English.
But it started with
no Jared Witts. And I think Tim English did the job he was meant to do. No Witts out there. So that made a big difference.
He absolutely murdered him. And
He lowered his colours the week before.
I think he must have been super determined the week before. But it's interesting. The Gold Coast bubble's burst a little bit, hasn't it? Are you still...
Oh, no, I don't think it's burst. I think, mate, they were 2-0. They've gone and played in Ballarat.
They lost 8 goals to the Western Bulldogs who, you know, they're not... Are they finalists? No.
Western Bulldogs? I haven't got them there yet. I love the Liberatore Raoul duel too. Those two boys, I reckon, would have just had a nice ice bath after the game and had a good lie down for an hour because they just spent the whole game, 4 quarters, just getting into each other.
And I noticed that they left out, they still left out, is it Toby McRae? No, what's his name?
Jack McRae. Racked up a nice 42 in the VFL.
So what do they do there?
Oh, he's playing. He's playing against the Eagles.
Yeah, they just had a big win.
Well, the coach, his language after the game was that we've tried to find a way to pick him, but we thought just right now we're going to go with the kids. And he said, but like his performance in the VFL suggests that, I think he's very likely.
Because they're all a bit one-paced. You know, you've got the Bont and you've got Libra and you've got, you know, they're all sort of...
Yep.
Yeah, and so that means that I guess that our man Rory Lobb probably he can't come back in. After a win like that, they kicked 18 goals.
Port Adelaide-Richmond, a game that, again, Richmond was almost sort of thereabouts but didn't get the job done. I think importantly for Port, was an overly impressive performance. They won by 30 points, but you get a win at the G, it sort of franks you, and they haven't been too bad there over the journey. So,
they're feisty, the Tigers, aren't they? They're not. Yeah. I thought they'd be worse than this. They actually showed a bit, Ross and Baker and... Nank was in there. Shea Bolton. I think
they're
the
still zipping 3 though.
Yeah, I think the Eagles are setting themselves to win. That's the one they think they can win. Optus Stadium.
I tell you what, there's another one they can win.
And they both could be 0-5.
They can beat Hawthorn at the moment.
Yeah, when are they playing Hawthorn?
Oh, it's not till later, I think. They got Richmond. My boys were horrible, Barra.
They got Richmond coming up, though, and Richmond's got Sydney, so they could they could be 0-5 or something, and the Eagles could be 0-5. One of them will have a win.
Yeah, or
that's
a draw.
What it'll be. A draw.
Did you see the Hawthorn-Melbourne game? And we should point out with Melbourne, my tip for the flag, just going along okay at the moment until May and Lever. So May's going to be out for some time, broken ribs. Lever.
Yes, but aren't they just saying it's a week or two for May now?
Jeez. Yeah, okay.
I mean, that's pretty
unusual. Nigel Lappin played the grand final with broken ribs and played okay. So.
And Lever, somehow he ended up injured too.
Yeah, knee.
A strange one, isn't it?
So, but Hawthorn's performance in the first quarter, I'm not sure what they were trying to achieve because they were clearly up against it in winning the game. But this rubbish across half back, get rid of that. And being smashed at clearance, Hawthorn, which was a strength last year. So, right now, Sam Mitchell's under the pump, mate, and needs to come up with some answers that aren't there, and their players are bereft of confidence. So a few issues at Hawthorn.
The shine's gone off him a little bit, old Sam Mitchell, isn't it?
Well, certainly it's started this year because they're playing rubbish.
They could be finished second bottom. I tipped them to finish bottom, but I think West Coast are going to, I can't admit it, they'll probably be bottom. But Hawthorn could finish second bottom, which would be horrific for Mitchell, given that everyone says he's a genius and he's rebuilding the club. He has got injuries, though, hasn't he?
No, yeah, Will Day. Defensively they have, but that's still not good enough. Okay, so just a couple of other games. Is the so-called, if you can call it, a dynasty at Collingwood over? And did we underrate Geelong? That's not a bad effort to go to Adelaide Oval and beat Adelaide. Having said that, what is Matthew Nix doing? He flagged it pre-game. Are you just going to kick it to Tom Stewart? It was kick to kick. Surely some of the players have got the IQ where they can say, hang on, we've got to change the angles here and we're not just going to kick it to Tom Stewart. Why on earth? It was so frustrating watching that game. They just continue to kick it to him. And it's not just he's a bloody good player and he does zone off and he finds his way into the game. But you can't. They were helping him.
It looked crazy, but there's two things. Let's deal with Geelong and Adelaide first then. The Crows, first of all, probably not what we thought they'd be.
At this stage, it's only
it's early days. Dawson and Carr are still pretty good. But did Brad Crouch end up playing or not? Did they leave him out? There's some weird stuff going on there with him. And Tom Stewart absolutely killed him. But I think didn't you have Geelong sliding?
I did.
Yeah, right. So do you reckon there's still a chance to slide?
We're only entering round three, so let's see.
Because Grime Myers looked fantastic.
Hawkins looks really good, right?
He's like
he can still take
Benjamin
a game
Button.
Apart in a quarter, doesn't he?
Yeah.
But he can't he? But there's a long way to go, Barra. And Dangerfield with a hammy.
Mm-hmm.
So Dangerfield, they're not 2 week injuries. He tends to take 4, 5, 6 weeks to get over them. Let's hope I'm wrong, but I think he's crucial to them.
They've still got Cameron in the team. Rankine or whatever he says, is he going to be what we think he's going to be?
I think he is. He's just going through a bit of a spell at the moment, as seemingly quite a few of his teammates are. So they need to get better quickly, Adelaide, because it's going to get away from him if they don't.
They subbed Rochelle. And you got to, I mean, I feel for Nix because Fogarty could have kicked three.
Yep.
I think he hit the post three times.
Yeah,
including one
from the,
absolute sitter. Man, that coach killers, that stuff.
It
you know
is.
What I mean?
Yeah, but so is kicking the ball to Tom Stewart.
Yeah.
Be better than that.
No, I give you that. And as for the Pies, what a game on Thursday night. Brisbane and Collingwood, neither of them won a game yet.
What did you think of Ross Lyon's language? Basically, the actual words that just escaped me, the actual words he used, but it was basically we've worked Collingwood out. We've worked out their trademarks, if you like. We know how to beat them. And it's this high press, pressure on the back line, pressure all over the field in St Kilda's case. It was an impressive effort. And you can just see, like, players, you can see they're enjoying the journey at the moment. Higgins looks like he's enjoying his footy. King is ever present. So, and Wanganeen Malera, we're now seeing him really step up into that elite bracket.
How good was he? And you can just see Ross Lyon in the off-season just picking apart. I mean, everyone picks apart
Windhager,
the premiership.
Good job on Dacos too. Dacos has been, first 2 weeks, very good. A little subdued at the weekend, but a good effort by Windhager on him. So you can see those role players in St Kilda starting to roll out, which is what happens with Ross Lyon teams.
Yeah, and St Kilda's still out of the eight as it is, but you'd think they're coming. But Collingwood, what happens if they go 0-4? If Brisbane gets them at the Gabba, 0-4, you'd have to say that the top four is out of reach, and the eight would start. If you're 0-4, you, what have you got? 18, 14, 18 games to go, 19 games to go. You've got to win another 12. You've got to win 12 out of 18.
I'm not worried.
To make the four, you've got to win 15 or 16. No chance.
I didn't have them in before, so I'm not worried.
Yeah, well, it's a big slide, and I don't know if they're drinking their own bathwater or if they just – it is a premiership hangover, but they look slow. And their forward line's starting to fall apart. You know how we always said, oh, their forward line always will fall apart one day? It actually fell apart.
Well, it is because they're not getting the – not only the volume, but they're not getting the quality of entry. So I think there's some real issues there for Collingwood. Barra, both of us got six this weekend. I'm one. You're on a total of 14. I'm on a total of 13 after my awful start to the year. But I'm just looming, mate. You look in that rear vision mirror, you can just see me there. I'm just looming.
Revving up.
Well done to Michael Vicentini, who had eight winners at the weekend. Very well done. Our overall winner is Jack Carrington-Jones. Well done to Jack. He's got 17 in total. That's in the game tipping comp with Quarters and Barra. So well done. Barra, now it's time for this.
Saddle up your camel. It's time for the Thirsty Camel mailbag.
Yes, thank you to Thirsty Camel, our long-time sponsor. Shop the way you want, online and in-store. Head to the website or download the Thirsty Camel app today. Look out for specials. There's convenience and great value every day. And this week's special, they're better than Easter eggs. Great Northern Super Crisps 24s, only $49.99 a carton. Barra, got a bit of mail here. I'll start with Peter Wright. This one from Mike from Scarborough, High Quarters and Barra. Peter Wright is about to go to the tribunal for nothing more than running straight towards a ball with the intention of taking a mark. His only way of avoiding contact with Cunningham was to pull out of the contest, which would have been ridiculous. In this time of reducing head contact, the onus should also be on a player to protect himself. I believe the days of running back with the flight of the ball with no care of what is coming at you should be coming to an end. Well, there you go, Barra. And it is the height of courage to do this, but always ends up with either injury to the players. It has been a great part of our game for many years, but I think its days are numbered. Well, that's a really good email, Barra, and he could have basically listened to us a few moments earlier.
He summed it up beautifully, and really, that's where it's at. It's really blokes not going back with the flight of the ball, and to take that out of the game, is that a bad thing? Historically, some famous incidents where blokes have showed courage.
Yeah, but times have changed.
Jonathan Brown's mark.
Of course.
Nick Riewoldt's mark. You know, like everybody still remember. That's like a big part of the game, and it was a big part of history.
But we need to change our mindset now because we've got to protect the head.
Mm.
I mean, I get it. But if we don't, it's the game. There'll be no game because there'll be no kids playing. So we need to look at this.
No, it's tricky. And really, it is the bloke coming forward that has the perfect view. And that's what's going to help Peter. Yeah. He'll probably get 3 weeks because they'll have to get three. He'll have to give it to him. But really, you could see his eyes were on the ball up until the last second where he goes, what is this bloke doing? And that's always what happens.
You know what hasn't helped him is this whole Brad Scott flagging the fact they're going to play on the edge and a couple of his teammates being a bit feisty. It's just not going to help him.
What about Tom Papley slotting him?
I don't mind that.
He goes bang.
I don't mind it.
Yes, they were targeting
him. During the game and after.
Bang. They're a
What's
facade.
Wrong with that?
They're a facade once. Okay, that's good. Then gets on yeah, seven fine. After the game in the rooms, goes again,
so
bang.
So John Longmire had a bit of a crack too. What do you reckon Longmire thought of those comments from Pat? Would he be happy with those? Would he have had a chat to him afterwards?
Hey, we're in the media, putting our media hats
I
on.
We go,
hey, this is brilliant.
It.
Say
but
some
don't
stuff.
Don't you want
great.
More honesty from players?
Yeah.
I do. No, seriously, I do.
Well, what's the next game going to be like?
Oh, well, good.
It's a rivalry.
Do you reckon the AFL doesn't want a bit of spice leading
yeah,
into the games?
Yeah, but do you want more violence and blokes getting hurt?
Well, it's not. Well, you can't these days, though, Barra, because you're going to be rubbed out.
I reckon Papley
Do you reckon
might
the
find
next
out.
Time they play, Papley will want to be rubbed out because I'll be heading towards finals?
He
I
won't
don't
get rubbed
so.
Out. He'll be under extreme mental and physical pressure.
He'd be annoying to
Every
play
time
on
you
Papley,
wear,
wouldn't he?
You know, when they start, they come for you. Yeah. It's bloody horrible. So, like, If you're the bloke that's been told that they need to rough up, so every time you go near the ball or a stoppage or whatever, they try to bump your elbow, you end up with bruises. All that
it's
a horrible.
Badge of honour, though, isn't it? Yeah, but Did anyone ever go you?
Yeah, but when they don't do it to you, it's fantastic.
Were you targeted in the AFL? Were you tagged?
I got tagged once again in an Adelaide game.
Did you?
And, you know, that's a transition too. I can't remember what the bloke's name, but that's a transition too because, you know, you're not used to that. You go, and taggers, like I said to you in the waffle, I said, mate, go around, run around and get a kick. Why would you just want to follow me around? Don't you want to just have fun? This is not much fun, just following me around, getting no kicks. You know, that mentality of footy, it's probably right. But I don't know, but we're going back to Papley. You liked what he unloaded?
I like the honesty.
Because Heaney did and the rest of them did as well, but he really went all in.
Yeah,
Papley.
I like it. Yeah.
He was setting up for his podcast or something.
Yeah.
Wasn't he?
That's all right.
Yeah, all right. We'll see. We'll see.
High quarters and Barra, in hindsight, should the Eagles have just brought in all new players at the end of last season and started again? The Eagles could follow George Costanza's philosophy, that being if every instinct that you have is wrong, then the opposite must be right. That's our regular correspondent, Michelle. Love it. Love the Seinfeld references. Keep them coming. That was a great episode. But, yeah, what am I? I'm unemployed. I'm 30-something. I live with my parents. And she slides the chair out. She says, sit down. but, look, I think they we can see, as you said earlier, the train has left the station. But I think you need – I agree
it's the Indian Pacific, though. It's gone a long way.
Yeah, it has got a long way to go, absolutely. Where are we? We're not even at Kalgoorlie yet, are we?
No.
It's a long, long way to go. But, look, I think, as we said earlier, I think Gaff can spend some time in the waffle now. And when he gets –
you reckon they'll bring him back?
Well, no, I don't think they will this week. No, but
yeah,
when
29 and kick two.
I'd play him as the sub. I'd play him as a sub, but that's when. But I wouldn't. I think his value is going to be rounds 8, 9, 10 onwards, when we're in that really hard, meaty part of the season, and they can use his experience when the kids are getting a bit tired. But I think right now you play the kids and you play the kids as subs. You find out as much as
you can. Well, Campbell Chester got found out a little bit.
Yeah, but he was okay.
And so that's the one with Gaff, isn't it? Do you go, well, we keep Gaffy on the bench for Chester if he really does get toweled up by the Bulldogs? Yeah, I mean, can you imagine selection this week? I wonder if Don Pike pops his head in. He goes, boys, you remember, we're in development mode. It's not about performance. It's about getting games in the
blokes. If you think it was hard against GWS midfield, it's going to be hard against the Dogs because they've got Bontempelli, they've got Liberatore. Mm. There's a lot of talent in there. So, yeah, you know, Jack McRae we expect to come back into that side as well.
At least Barras lifted. So, because they've got a big weekend ahead, haven't they?
Yeah.
With Jaguar, what's his name?
Yeah, look.
Yugel Hagen.
Yeah, look, he lifted, but I thought Norton. Jesse was okay. Jesse's radar was a little bit off early, so he could have kicked 4 or 5. I love seeing two good mates play on each other too, because they go back, those two, Barras and Jesse.
Hogan and...
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They're Hogan. Good mates. They're just good mates. I love that.
Yeah, and Gov was good too.
Yeah, so. Gov was good. So, look, there was...
I wonder what the discussions are, though, in match committee about how many senior blokes they need in the team to make sure they don't get belted. Is that the first thing? First things first, let's make sure we don't get beaten by 100 points. So we'll keep McGovern, Barras, and blah, blah, blah. And then...
Who knows? They might drop, darling. You know, I mean, I think structurally they've sort of got to play him, but you just don't know.
I'd fall off my chair if they drop, darling.
Yeah, yeah.
Because imagine the forward line.
Yeah.
There'd be no names.
Hey, guys, there was huge media hyperbole during the 2022 trade period about if Freo should give up 2 first-round draft picks for Jackson. Fast forward 18 months. Did Freo rip Melbourne off in the Luke Jackson trade? That's Adam for Carlisle. Well, it's a good point. He's been, I mean, we're just starting. What did I say at the weekend? He's like a unicorn on roller skates. I mean, he's just, he's quite an athlete. And you know,
he's the difference.
I repeat, Barra. Play him as a forward, play him as a ruck, and every now and then throw him out in a wing because he's unmatchable out there.
Mate, the Dockers fans, they're loving a few things. Lockie Schultz struggling and Collingwood going like busted.
Yeah, but we don't want Lockie to struggle.
No, but they,
little shooter
the Dockers
to be,
fans do. They're loving it.
And
you know what?
I reckon they want him to succeed unless he plays against...
You traitor. They want to see a traitor backline on
he's
him.
He's from Victoria originally. Why is he a traitor?
Because he... He's left.
For family reasons, though.
It was
for family reasons.
1 million family reasons.
Well, they had some family reasons. He's not on $1 million.
Well, his contract would have been over $1 million. Mm. You know what I mean?
I don't think he's on $1 million, mate.
No, but he's like, 600 over 3, 1.8.
plenty of the season to go. He'll be all right. He'll be good for them. He's a good player.
And he would be thinking, have I done the right thing? Because he could miss his place in history.
Yeah.
If the Dockers win a flag and he misses it.
That's the choice you got to make.
He thinks he's going to the Blokes. And you know the funny bit? The Dockers have got Collingwood's pick. So if they do finish down the ladder, suddenly that pick becomes even better.
Well, they've been on the other end of that, so it's a nice way. It's a nice flip for them. Look, it's a very early, mate. I think Collingwood will come, but I just think it's getting to the point now where, you know, top four is going to, and I know it's early, but top four, you're going to get your boots on pretty quickly because, you know, this is going to get away from
If you go 0-4, you're really
but
pushing.
But you expect at some stage Collingwood to...
burst back to life.
Yeah, they'll be hard to. I think they played some pretty good sides so far, I'd say. So let's see. Hey, fellas, referencing Elijah Hewitt's quoted claim that Jinby Reid and himself will be the equivalent of Judd, Cousins and Kerr, with Clay Hall potentially become the Rowan. Will Clay Hall potentially become the Rowan Jones in this analogy? That's a good email. I was happy that he fell through to the Eagles in the later stages of the draft and think he could play the role of blocking or creating space for the likes of Reid and Hewitt. In particular, Jinby is already a bull. At under 18 level, Hall showed leadership and selflessness and can also find the footy himself. What role do you foresee him in the midfield? Also, I was at the game of the weekend and hope that Chesser gets an extended run. He made some unforced errors like dropping an uncontested mark, but also showed a bit and clearly needs his selected group to show confidence and back him in. Your thoughts, John from Hammond Park. Good email, John. Firstly, on Clay Hall, and with greatest respect to Rowan Jones, who played a very important role in their 2006 flag. I think Clay Hall's better than just a stopper and blocker. I think Clay Hall can be a generator. Mm. So I think,
and so was Jonesy, by the way.
Yeah,
I mean, he did cover for Cousin and for Judd, in particular Judd, but he did pretty well. Now, I think you're right. I think Clay Hall's more a Michael Braun, Andrew Embley
style.
Yeah,
I think you're right.
You know what I mean?
That's a good call.
Even, who was the other bloke that had Stengline?
Mm.
He used to go back
and forth.
He
was more of a stopper, though, wasn't
he, Stengline? Yeah, he did do a bit of tagging.
And
Banfield, maybe?
Yeah, it's a good call. And Chesser... reflecting my thoughts from earlier, you keep him out there, you have a look, really find out A, whether he can play, and B, what his best position is. But right now, you stick him out in a wing, you say, we've got confidence in you, let's look at the good stuff you did at the weekend, and we're going to give you a run at it.
Somebody told me that the Eagles have taken 30 odd rookies in recent times, and how many are still at the club, do you reckon?
Oh, I don't know.
One.
Oh, Cully?
One.
Who was it?
One.
Was Cully? Cully was.
Just one.
He was mid-season,
The one out of 30.
Okay.
So I think now that they've turned the wheel on the list manager and stuff, it's probably a good decision.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like, and the other thing that people throw against West Coast is that there's nobody at another club from their club. You know, so Lockie Neal and all those sort of blokes. There's really nobody that they've let go that's gone on with it.
So plenty that have gone, they could have drafted.
That tells you a few things.
But you could say that of every club. You've missed draft picks, early draft picks. But I think the thing with West Coast is your Sam Taylor
But there's
types.
No Jack Darlings at Melbourne. Or but there's you, no, you know what I mean?
I think that, you know, it's Sam Taylor types of players who've gone through. It's like, well, why didn't you pick him? You know, why didn't you pick Canelio? But you can't pick them all. You've got
to
make
So that brings you to the decision of having seen North Melbourne and how well they've done out of all their concessions. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there are...
What do they get a pick?
Should West Coast get something?
Yes. If they have a two-win season, yes, they should get a priority.
I think despite...
Hang on, let me rephrase that. No, because I don't believe in priority picks. I think they're crap. No one should get one. But if you've handed one to North Melbourne and the rules are there for it, then they qualify.
Yeah, and after three seasons, so it'll be two wooden spoons and what, a second last, is it?
Yep.
Yeah, so surely that qualifies you getting some sort of help.
I think they had a second last when they had two wins and a last when they had three, but yeah.
Even when you're mega wealthy in a big, I don't know, it sounds weird, when you're mega wealthy in a big club and you've got 100,000 members and you still get 40,000 of the game, you still get a priority pick.
So I reckon under Trevor Nisbet they would have said, absolutely not, that's not what we do. But I'm not sure. I think Don Pike at the moment and where they're at with their rebuilding stage, if you're going to get a free hit, why not go for it?
I think they need to put their hand out.
Yeah.
It doesn't look right.
I don't like priority picks, but if you qualify, go for it.
Mm.
Why not?
And you know the other thing? I heard Simon Garlick talking on the radio, and I think both clubs are in on this. They're pushing very, very hard to get another home game.
Yep. So for gather round. to make up for Gather Round.
Yeah, instead of having just 12 home games, so 11 plus the Derby.
Yep.
AFL, give us a 13th, because there's 10 teams in Melbourne. They play in Melbourne 15 or 16 times, and they travel bugger all. And sometimes when they travel, they only go to Adelaide, okay, or they go to Sydney. They're not coming. Every week we have to travel across the Nullarbor. How about one more home game? Give us one more. I think they're getting a good hearing there, and Simon Garlick's driving that.
Yeah, it has been for a couple of years, actually.
And does that make sense? You're a Victorian. Make sense to you?
Yeah, of course it does.
Yeah, because when you think of it that way, it seems extremely unfair.
It is extremely unfair.
Because, you know, Collingwood, they just drive down the road.
Richmond.
Yeah, Richmond.
Melbourne.
You know,
Hawthorne.
It is a bizarre, and how it got to that is bizarre, really. I know the home and away thing, but doesn't apply in this situation. When there's 10 clubs in Melbourne.
You get no argument from me, Barra. Morning, Quarters and Barra. This Jackson is better without Darcy chat is a tad annoying. For starters, half the reason North was getting on top was because Cherry was beating Jackson quite comfortably in the first half. Jackson is a good ruckman, yes, but up against bigger and taller blokes, he will be found wanting. Darcy, when he's back, will be the gorilla. The immovable object, and Jackson can be the graceful unicorn that flies over the top, the unstoppable force. The whole thing is framed wrong. Does the media genuinely think keeping Jackson in ruck the entire time is sustainable, especially against the bigger and more experienced? Thanks, Harris from Onslow. Apparently there's a football club up here that plays Panawanica twice a year. Football is a wonderful thing. Don't take it for granted and get around your local clubs. That was from Harris. That's a fantastic. He's from Ashburton. That is a fantastic. Geez, they've been high quality today, the Mail Barrow. They normally are, but just a bit of GST on them today. I reckon that's a really good email. Interesting point, Reed, Darcy and Jackson.
Yeah, well, it's going to be a wait and see thing when he comes back to see how it does operate. I think they've got it. I think Justin Longmuir will work it, and I think Darcy has to play in the ruck obviously first because he's not a great forward compared to Jackson.
Yeah, I agree.
But Jackson being down there, releasing Jay Amos to go well because he takes the best defender, and he plays more of as a ruck rover anyway.
When he's fit, he's straight in Darcy, and Jackson starts as a forward and chops out in the ruck.
I don't think they're robbing the scenario in there. I mean, you like to have him in there as a ruck. And they can put him in as a midfielder as well sometimes.
Yep. Love the emails from the regional areas too. Keep them coming. G'day, gents. With all the talk of Freo trying to lure Logan McDonald home and possibly parting with multiple first-round picks to do so, I thought I'd throw an alternative out there. I love this one. I would personally rather target Sam Taylor, arguably the best key defender in the comp, and if GWS were to win the flag this year, I believe he could be coaxed home in exchange for first-rounders. Would love to hear your thoughts. That's Jared from Port Kennedy, adopting the moniker of the Pilbara Peanut for future correspondence. Thank you, Jared. I like that. If you look at the Freo forward line, I think West Coast should target Logan McDonald. They're the ones that need another forward to help out Oscar Allen. I don't think that's Fremantle's real area of concern, but they could really do with another defender.
Well, Josh,
particularly
Josh
an
Tracy,
absolute elite one.
Yeah, Josh Tracy has come on. And if Sean Darcy does play and you've got Luke Jackson down there, you're probably right. But you got to put your Logan McDonald hat on. Is he going? He wants to win a flag, doesn't
he? I don't know if he's going anywhere. Yeah,
he's... Yeah, but you think he's staying at Sydney, don't
you
first
do.
Of all?
Yeah.
But most players, they look at the money, but then they also look at the success. And so what the Eagles, what, 3 years, 2 or 3 years away from playing finals?
The Eagles? Three at least. Maybe longer.
That's a long time for a bloke, isn't it, you know, to sit around. And that's where the challenge with Harley Reid will be too.
But right now this window looks pretty good for Sydney. So, but Harley's very young. So is Logan, but he's much younger. You know, he's starting from a long way back. So I think Logan stays, but it's a good email. Hi, Chance.
Chad loves the Eagles too.
Chad Warner?
Yeah.
Yeah, he'd be a pretty handy pickup, wouldn't he? That's a nice midfield starting to build. Hi, gents. Listener on the East Coast who supports Port, enjoying a West Coast podcast. Figure that one out. Barra, love your stories. Love you stirring the pot and Quarters playing a straight bat every time. Do I play a straight bat?
Oh, you're kidding, aren't you?
Do I?
You're bloody Cam Bancroft.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Jeez. Remember Jeff Boycott?
Jeff Boycott and Chris Tavare. I remember Jeff Boyko.
How boring
was that?
How boring was cricket in those days?
That was all right.
And now they smash him around. Hey, Sheffield Shield. How about that?
Oh, yeah, by the way.
One of the great eras.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, mate. Well done.
Sorry.
Sam Whiteman. You know he's a fantastic guy, Gannon.
Sorry, Matt. I haven't even mentioned the bloke's name yet. Yeah. Just let me finish this one. But I have to say, keep the pod the same length. I drive for about 2 hours each day for work. Your pod is perfect for the drive. Yeah. Keep up the great work, guys. Matt from Laurieton on the beautiful mid-north coast of New South Wales. It is beautiful on the mid-north coast of New South Wales, by the way.
Name some
Thank
towns
you, Matt.
There, mate.
Hey?
Name some towns.
Oh, Bateman's
there.
Bay.
Yeah.
You work your whole way. Coffs
now,
Harbour.
Can I just tell you?
Yeah.
When I was in Canberra, we had a house, firstly, Bateman's Bay.
Yep.
Then we went to Ulladulla.
Yep.
And then we had a house in Mollymook.
Oh, Mollymook. I like
Mollymook. Our God's country.
Yeah.
Good over here, too.
Well done. That's a really good email, mate. Hey, by the way, we should mention it now that you have mentioned it. Congratulations across sporting codes here to the West Australian Sheffield Shield team. That's a hat-trick of Marsh Cups.
Yep.
And a triple-double, they're calling it.
Yep.
And what a magnificent effort. Sam Whiteman leading from the front again, a century in the first innings. What about Cooper Connolly? Debut first-class match, 90, and the first 32 runs were boundaries.
I know. And filthy that he didn't get the 100. But they spanked him. They was it
377?
And they got out in 3 hours. So were you working that day?
I was, but I was at footy.
So we get the call from the whacker. Can you send a journalist down here? We think we're going to win tonight. You go, what? Hang on, the Eagles is on. The news starts at 6. You know, the game's going to be in the last quarter because, you know, you kicked over past 6. We're going to play an extra half an hour. It'll probably be over. We're going, can you just play back tomorrow morning? Can you come back to please? Just do it tomorrow morning.
No, you can't do that.
The boys want to get... how's the catch from Joel Paris?
Oh, yeah.
Joel Paris.
Pretty special.
Fast bowler.
You know what else was special?
Of Gannon.
So they lose Bancroft in the lead-up, and they're without, you know, they're out Mitch Marsh, they're without Cameron Green, who are playing IPL, and they just, the depth
Berendorf,
is so good,
Richardson.
They can just bring them in.
It's just all the blokes weren't playing.
Well done.
Mate, they are one of the great teams.
They're having a mad Monday today, aren't they? Or a mad Tuesday?
Mad week. I'm going to be talking to Gilly. I'm going to just ask him where they rank up against, you know, the great Gilchrist time with Martin and all that, Julian and Angel and all those guys. They've got to be right up there, don't they?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well done, boys. You have been listening to Quarters and Barra. We have been brought to you by Tab Touch. Got the Touch, download the Tab Touch app today. Chances are you're about to lose. For free and confidential support, visit gamblinghelponline.org.au. Thank you, Barra. Thank you, listeners. Keep the mail coming. We will be back on Thursday to preview round 3.